This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's talk about Bitcoin, or actually cryptocurrencies for that matter, because as we know, it's been a volatile asset class, but last week really took our breaths away.
A roller coaster ride, I think.
Yeah, because on Wednesday, Bitcoin plunged 30%, while Ether plummeted by 40%, and the sharp decline came after Chinese authorities issued a warning to its banks, reiterating their ban on digital tokens in financial transactions.
Plus, the market was also rattled by the US Treasury Department's call for stricter tax compliance when it comes to cryptos. Now, Bitcoin's extreme volatility also carried into the weekend as it made double-digit moves, down about 13% on Sunday before recovering. So the question is, with such large fluctuations, what exactly is the future of cryptocurrency? Could it really be the future of money?
So for some insights into this, we're speaking to Varun Mittal, Global Emerging Markets FinTech Leader at EY. Good morning, Varun. Thanks for joining us again. Now, Bitcoin's, like we say, prices tumbled last week after the Chinese government cracked down on the bank's use of cryptocurrencies and warned of risks linked to trading crypto assets. Should we expect to see more government scrutiny?
The premise is every time an asset class or any part of economy grows beyond a point, then the regulators have to start taking cognizance of it. Regulators cannot go and start to regulate every smallest thing, but when it crosses a certain threshold, and the threshold is different for each country, but then the regulations will come in. And because more and more financial institutional investors were taking exposure, there were some fund managers who were putting some of the cryptocurrencies in the retirement funds of people without their fully understanding what exactly are these products. So which is why that broader mainstream and institutionalization of it brings regulation with it.
So talking about thresholds, because the Biden administration had proposed a requirement for transfers of cryptocurrencies worth $10,000 to be reported to the Internal Revenue Service, how significant is that development then?
See, the premise is usually for thresholds, the premise is you have to start somewhere. So I go back, $10,000 used to be the highest currency note in the United States before the Reagan administration removed that, and then the highest currency denomination went down. So which is why every administration will have to take a point, and then they say, okay, is it too much or is it too low? And then they tweak from there. You have to anchor it somewhere. So they would have some metric to define the anchor to be 10,000. And it could go up or down depending on how market moves, how they see the data. And if they find out that 85% people are covered under that, then it's probably okay. Or if only 10% people are covered, they bring the threshold down.
So Varun, do we know besides the US and China, how are other countries approaching regulating cryptocurrencies then?
The premise is they have to look at how the cryptocurrencies are going to be used. So if they're security tokens, that most countries treat them as securities. So it's just a digital certificate instead of a physical certificate. That one is governed as securities. The tricky part is when these are payment and utility tokens, most countries are looking at treating it as commodity. And it's a kind of commodity because even some of the proponents call it a digital gold or digital silver, digital copper equivalent. So they're treating it as a commodity from a current regulations perspective. The parts when it comes to DeFi, the decentralized finance, the regulators are still trying to wrap it around that, okay, it's not a banking, it's not a commodity, it's somewhere in the middle. So we need to see which of the existing regulations will this fit in.
So Varun, related to this is, you know, then are we then underestimating the regulatory risks surrounding cryptos in general as we can see central banks defending their monopolies over their respective currencies?
I would frame it that we are looking at more regulatory governance to ensure that consumer interests and user interests are protected. And when I say central banks, they're not looking at defending a monopoly. They are, see, managing money and currency supply is a factor of public order and social tranquility and social safety. And they have an important job to achieve that. And globally, any country who loses control over currency, it creates social unrest and other second and third order effects. So regulators are doing that to protect the social order and protect the financial and social health of the country. And they shall use the means available at their disposal to do that. Technologies come, go, evolve, but the function of the central banks is not to look at defending a monopoly, but to defend and protect the social safety and order.
Now, if we shift from governments to actually businesses, because the biggest proponent of Bitcoin was Tesla, where they were initially accepting it as a form of payment, but now they backtracked on that decision. How far away actually are we from using cryptocurrency as a mainstream form of payment?
I would look at something very simply, is the stability, right? Would you want, if you are selling something, would you want to sell something where tomorrow the value is half of it or double of it? Will the person paying you will be happy if he realizes, shit, I just paid double of the amount if I would have just waited for one day, or the other way around? So which is why any instrument which would have significant volatility will struggle to be a mainstream medium of value exchange.
So does this mean that it cannot be a cryptocurrency in its current form, cannot be a viable digital currency given its current very wildly volatile nature?
See, some stable coins, for example, are not as volatile because they represent one of the fiat currencies and they are not as volatile. So some of the stable coins, I believe, even in the current shape and form, could perform that function. But a lot of those cryptocurrencies which do not have an underlying backing and they do not represent an actual real world asset from that perspective, plus they have this much volatility, there will be a bit of challenge. But I see in the current climate, it's the stable coins which I will see as closest to having a potential to be a legal tender.
And just extending that concept of stable coin to now governments really actively thinking of their own digital currencies, do you think the long-term implementation of that will spell the end of someone like Bitcoin in 5-10 years' time, or is that too early to presume?
See, central bank digital currencies will be there for specific purposes. No country has said that the cash will go away 100%. No country has announced that there will be zero cash. There are specific use cases for which the digital currency makes sense. The central bank digital currency makes sense, and that's what they're looking at. What happens to Bitcoin and other such players will be a factor of, if you see the audio streaming, I usually give that as an example. The previous generation of audio stream were app stores from where we would buy one music, another music, and one album, not song. Current format is you pay monthly fees, eat as much as you want. Previous was you buy a full album, not a song. The one before that was people trying to share it all over the net. Of course, some of those companies got sued and went into oblivion. And this was the early part of dot-com cycle. So which is why there are generation. The premise was the music should be freely circulatable. The creator should be able to monetize. Creator should have a much more skin in the game, and people should have more skin in the game instead of record companies controlling the roost. That was the premise. And currently, we are in probably third or fourth generation of that evolution. Similarly, it will happen with the cryptocurrency as well. There will be more solutions which will come, which will be built on these foundations. Some of the current players may evolve, but this is not the end. I would say this is first 10 minutes in a 90 minutes match.
So Varun, at the end of the day, are you saying that this Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies will eventually go mainstream and perhaps the volatility will reduce over time?
They're already mainstream, some of them. So for example, the airline loyalty points, they are also digital. And now you can buy different stuff using those points. I can just add the word coins to your miles and then that becomes a digital cryptocurrency. So it's not that it's revolutionary new, which somebody thought which never existed ever before. So a lot more use cases will happen where there will be strong governance around it to ensure that safe conduct happens and there are no investors or consumers which are hurt.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Varun Mittal, Global Emerging Markets FinTech Leader at EY, saying we are in the early stages of cryptocurrencies. Probably the first 10 minutes of a 90-minute match. So a long way to go. But if you are a cryptocurrency trader or you've been investing in it, I guess your breath has been taken away, because if we look at Ether, it is only up 191% on a year-to-date basis. I think at the peak, it was up close to 700%. And for Bitcoin, it was close up to 100%, and now it's only up 21%. So not an easy asset class to understand or invest in.
Definitely not short term. And I think Varun is alluding to that. Actually, it's got some long term potential because it will evolve, but you got to have the resilience to hold it.
Yeah. Know what you're buying, and as usual, practice asset diversification. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.